Hi guys, it's Jessie.
And Hannah.
And welcome back to Maybe We've Been a Little Too Harsh.
Welcome back.
I can definitely say that maybe I was a little too harsh lately on this show.
Wasn't this a great episode?
It was an awesome episode.
Everyone's story is interesting. I'm so proud of them. Even the lesbians!
Yes, the lesbian story, I would say, is much more interesting than Michael's.
Yeah.
And honestly more interesting than Emmett's, but Emmett is such a sweetie. You can't hate him. And
this is
Michael, the first
plot line with the lesbians that I'm invested in.
Yes.
And it's so fun to care about
them. It's so fun. Yes. And also, like, you know what? Dykes on Bikes is hot.
Yeah, and the way it was resolved was so great.
Melanie didn't
realize that she was being a jerk. Lita and Lindsay didn't fight.
Yes. Yeah. And Lita was right. Like, she knows Melanie. And obviously, like, the reason that they didn't work out didn't have anything to do with, like, Melanie becoming, like, straight-laced or whatever the fuck. And that wasn't the problem in their relationship either. It was honestly just Lindsay having insecurities and resisting change. So,
but she listened to Lita, and that was great of her.
Yes.
Instead of just, like, doubling down, she actually listened and changed her point of view, and it was very cool. Okay. Before we talk about the show, we have lives to talk about.
Yeah, anything happened to you in the last day?
No, I slept all day. It was great.
Oh, that's a lot of sleeping to do.
Yeah, I've been working on edits for my lesbian book.
Yes.
I'm almost at what the lesbian book equivalent of the bashing is in Queer as Folk.
Yes.
So I'm
very scary. Sad.
Yeah, I'm sad about that because it's intense.
Yeah.
And my parents came and took away my old bed frame. I got pink Birkenstocks.
Gorgeous.
Wait, I'll show them to you. I'm wearing them.
I'm so excited. Oh, they're really nice.
They're suede, so they're really comfy.
I love them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I love Birkenstocks and I love pink. So, it's perfect for me. I'm eating goat cheese out of a paper cup while Eli also tries to eat my goat cheese, and he is about to get some because I dropped it on my lap.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about dogs is that they're like vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, I know. My dad used to be all worried about crumbs in the house with Oliver, and now I'm like, Eli just follows him around. Eli loves him because he drops food all the time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh.
Not a concern anymore. I'm going to the beach in a couple weeks. I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's good.
Hey. Manners. Eli gets to come to the beach.
Oh.
So that'll be fun.
Very exciting.
And that's really all I have going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been a day since we recorded.
It's only been a day. Yeah.
I'm avoiding my homework.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it tomorrow.
Yeah. I had brunch with my friends.
That's right. How was it?
It was fine.
Fine? I thought you'd been dreaming of it for years.
No! I mean, I like brunch and I like being with friends. However, I do not recommend the bourbon French toast from Founding Farmers.
Oh, that sounds good.
Wasn't good, though.
Oh, I had French toast today. I had the stuffed French toast from Expectation. It's stuffed with mascarpone cheese, and then it's got a berry compote on it. I have it, like, three times a week.
That makes sense.
It's
that
so good.
That does look really good. Yeah, I think last time I ate at Expectations, it was in Toronto, and I had Eggs Benedict.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure.
They have a really good crab Eggs Benedict. I don't know if they have it in Toronto, but they have it at the Maryland one.
I can't really eat that much crab. Ever since I had my 10th birthday party. Hold on. There's a story to it.
Okay.
My 10th birthday, I had a crab cake from the Silver Diner. I know that was my fault.
No, I've had many crab cakes from Silver Diner. No judgment.
Okay. Well, I had a crab cake from the Silver Diner, and I think it was food poisoning, because I was literally only sick for, like, less than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. Maybe I just don't remember it past the throwing up, but that evening, I had my birthday party, and I like barely ate my food, and I was not feeling that great while I was skating, and then I fucking threw up and had stomach whatever nonsense. And ever since, like, I get kind of like anxious and feel uncomfortable when I eat crab cake or any kind of like crab that's on top of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't eat Mexican food for the same reason.
Ooh. God, that would suck. Mm-hmm. Love Mexican food.
I used to, and I can't stand it anymore. Mm. But I love crab.
Yes. Yeah. Well, at brunch, my friend asked me, what are you doing the rest of the day? I said, I don't have anything other than I'm recording my podcast with my friend who's an author who I stalked into being my friend. And so then, of course, I had to tell the whole story. yeah.
I feel like the listeners haven't heard the whole story. Have they? Do we have listeners?
Yes, we have 22 listeners. It fluctuates between 20 and 25.
That's wild.
I know. Well, if you guys don't know, I started reading Hannah's books when I was 13. The first book I read was Invincible Summer. Yes, it is still the best book I've ever read.
It's wrong.
It's really, I really will tell you it's the best book you've written. It's no just, offense.
I love you, but that's an incorrect opinion.
It's a good opinion. Oh, but my friend actually now might read A History of Glitter and Blood because he looked up your Wikipedia.
Hey, that's awesome.
He was like, this seems really cool. I was like, yes, definitely read it. It's a good book. Except I really think I should reread it because I don't fucking remember it.
And also,
a friend has my copy, so I would be giving you more money.
I love that.
Another one. yeah. Yeah, so I was, like, obsessed with Hannah since I was 13, but, you know, like, I tried to, like, keep it cool. I, like, was like, okay, like, I need to not be as obsessed with Hannah as I am obsessed with Harry Potter or Glee. So, you know, I, like, kept my obsession to, like, a healthy not looking you up every day like I did with Emma Watson from the time I was age 9 to, like, 12.
Oh, you're such a dyke.
There's not enough therapy in the world for me. yeah. But then, I guess, like, when I started getting more into Twitter, then I, like, followed you. And then, eventually, like, I knew that you were in New York and, like, working in New York. And then, I guess, eventually it came to my attention that you had moved back.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was already in college. Somewhere, like, in the middle, in between there, like, I worked with someone who knew you from doing Rocky Horror.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I worked with them at some, like, music preschool camp. I don't know. My mom got me weird jobs. Some girl. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She had, like, brown hair. Was white and Jewish. That's, like, everyone. It's not a descriptor.
It's a lot of people.
I know.
Was it me? No. I have brown hair and I'm white and Jewish.
I know, but she knew you. Yeah. So it couldn't be you.
I know
myself. Yeah.
I know me. Yeah. Sometimes.
I hope you know yourself.
It comes and goes.
But then, when... This was, like, after I had worked my second summer at NIH. So the first summer I worked at NIH, I had a horrible psychotic break, and my parents wouldn't take me to the hospital. And then the second summer, I convinced... Oh, maybe this was after the first summer. No, this was the second summer. I convinced my friend to work with me, so I had a better time. And then we started our podcast, me and my friend, which I no longer do, because it was just too much work. But then, like, right before I went back to college, I sent you a DM on Twitter. I was like, hey, I don't live too far from you. Like, I'm kind of near Rockville. Can I take you for coffee? Where we met up. I realized how obscenely tall you are. and you tried to buy me coffee, I think.
I believe I did buy you coffee.
You might have. I tried to buy you coffee, and I think you refused.
Yeah.
But then you saw my book, and it was amazing. I was very sweaty because I was so excited.
Oh, you're so cute. I was very sweaty because it was hot as balls.
It was hot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been in that Starbucks very few times. The time that I had been there before being there with you, I had a horrific migraine. It was right before I got on migraine meds.
I got hit on in that Starbucks once by a guy who I then realized had hit on me before and sent me a dick pic after I gave him my number.
No!
So I called him out for it in the middle of the Starbucks. And then the guy sitting next to me said, that was fucking awesome. And then I had a great conversation with that guy.
Oh my God.
I live tweeted the experience, so it's out there somewhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, same guy. And then I ran to him a third time. He asked me for a dollar one time. The same guy. So I feel like he's not having a good life. No. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I figured it out because both times he told me, so what are you, Italian or something?
Bruh. You've had this conversation before.
Yeah, and as soon as he said that, I sat back and I was like, I thought that was you.
Mm.
And I was like, we've done this before. And then he was like, well, why didn't I have your number on my phone? I said, because I gave you a fake number this time.
Yeah! Oh my God, that's so funny.
I actually give guys Seth's number. He said it's okay. So when I'm out, and the guy asked for my number, I give him Seth's. Seth likes getting dick pics, so.
Oh my God.
yeah, but that Starbucks, full of memories.
Yeah, there's really nothing else to the story, because then we, like, talked on and off, like, you know, and then I would get drunk at my favorite bar and text you and be like, we should do more as friends.
Yes.
Like, not, like, push our friendship. No, no, no. By that I mean, like, we should interact more, because our interactions are good.
I remember I was seeing Love, Simon when you texted me.
asking that's such about a good movie.
If we should do a podcast, and I was like, I'm so fucking busy, because I was already doing the podcast with Kat at that point.
Yeah.
But I was like, and I asked Kat, I was like, would it be okay with you if I did this? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, I'm gonna do it.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad we did. I'm glad I convinced
me
you.
Me too. Who would have thought that this podcast would outlive Degrassi? Yeah.
You know what? One day we can loop back around to Degrassi, because I never finished watching it.
That would be fun. Okay, yeah. But we should talk about this show.
Wait. Then the only other thing that was relevant from talking at my brunch was that I talked to my friends about the... I think... Okay, so you know I'm trying to be a lesbian. I'm really trying.
I do know this.
It is not that hard because I really have no interest in men.
That's really all you need.
Yeah, with the exception of this Jewish guy that I met at my job.
In Canada.
Canadian boy. Because they know Canadian boy. We were all colleagues, and then one of my friends quit, and the other one got laid off because of the virus, which is bullshit, because then they hired two people. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, the moral of the story is I did text him. I've heard nothing back. Is this going to be better for me in the long run that this is the last boy left on the list and he disappears into the abyss? Yes.
Yes.
So that was my update.
All right. Well, let me know if he gets back to you.
Okay. His mom sends me Instagram messages every week. She does this, like, Pilates class on Instagram TV, and she fucking sends it to me every week.
Oh my God.
She's That's really so sweet. Weird. She really likes me. She That's let me weird. Stay at her house one time, so.
Alright.
Yeah.
Queer as Folk?
Yep, let's talk about Queer as Folk.
So, great episode.
Great episode, yes.
Great episode. Strong plot lines for everybody.
Yes.
Beautiful ending.
Yes. I literally teared up. This is the first time anything in this show has made me tear up, I think.
Haystead Wanna Dance, I think, is my favorite moment of the entire show.
It was... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Because my brain immediately went to the drag queen at the end.
Oh, no.
It was awesome. It was really awesome. There's I was a little so worried much. That Justin would freak out by, like, someone,
There's so many little things in that moment. The fact that he's calling him stud when he's not a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, like, because Justin was like, go find someone of your usual type.
Yes.
And Brian is effectively saying, I don't want that, I want you. The fact that when they're dancing, Brian assumes the girl position. I love that.
I totally didn't notice that.
He puts his arms around Justin's neck like he's the girl. Which is a great reversal of gender roles for them. I promise you won't forget this one. I mean, come on. It's such a great moment. And he comes running after Justin after he leaves.
I know ABBA so well. And I'm really obsessed with Mamma Mia. And so literally within the first two very extremely faint notes of Chiquitita, I like knew what was playing, and that really did not help the waterworks.
It's a beautiful scene. I wish the lesbians could have been there dancing with everybody else. But the show was like, that's enough feminism for today. Sent them home to get with the baby.
They are not wrong that sometimes these women are annoying.
They are. But whose fault is that? The male writers.
Yes. I will say I do have a critique for the Brian Justin plot.
Okay.
Which is that I wish it was more like the end of the episode for a little bit, like, longer. I, like, wish they had been happier.
Yeah.
It seemed like the sadness has been dragging
together.
Out. Yeah.
They were together in the group, and then we had them together when Justin was upset after he saw Chris Hobbs and Brian hugged him, which was a sweet moment, but not happy.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes, like, these scenes, like, I want them to, like, dig deeper. Like, I want it to just turn into therapy, you know?
That's why there's fanfic, you know? Because people want these moments to go deeper.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why I think this show has a really... Even now, you know, 20 years after the show aired, it still has an active fanfic community because there's so many parts of the show where you're like, that was good, but wait, hang on. Can we have more? And it's like, no, you can't.
Yeah. I do like that Michael was there for that scene.
Me too.
Because I think he acted as, like, the audience sort of, like, reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not something we were gonna ever get from Brian. So having Michael there sort of, like, helps the scene flow in a way that doesn't feel frustrating. It still ends up being able to be, like, cathartic.
Yeah, and so. We had little moments of Michael standing up for Justin and looking out for Justin, which I always like.
Mm-hmm. Those were really good.
Yes. Okay, so who are we going to start with?
I guess... okay, so I think I'm going to set the order as let's do... Emmett, Ted, Michael, lesbians, Brian, Justin.
Okay.
Kind of already did.
Okay.
Brian, Justin, Emmett. And the lesbians.
This is the first time we hear about Godiva. Emmett's... I wish it wasn't the first time we heard about Godiva.
Yeah. This is not the first time Emmett has been, like, of this group of friends, like, the friend to the drag queens.
Yes.
You know? He is typically, since he is the feminine one, I'm sure this is why this role was picked for him,
mm-hmm.
but he is sort of like the liaison, like this is not the first drag queen we've seen him be friends with.
Yeah. And he will mention Godiva again later in a couple seasons, and I do like that they remember her, the continuity. He's talking about, like, when I first moved here, I lived with Godiva, and then I lived with Michael, and I like that they remember it. So there's that at least.
That is interesting. I did not like Vic in the storyline. I thought it was annoying. I don't like Vic most of the time.
I actually do like Vic in the storyline. I like when he refers to himself as an old queen who has AIDS. I think that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, I got Vic on the What Queer Is Vote Character Are You personality test. So, like, even when I don't really like Vic, like, I get him.
Mm.
Like, I get what it's like to be, like, the jaded, old, sick queer. Like, I get it.
Didn't I get Brian just, like, on that quiz?
I think you did, and I was very jealous.
Yeah. Okay, and I texted you about this because I wanted to talk about this. Because I, obviously, have spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh and still very connected to the Pittsburgh community because a lot of my friends still live there. And, like, I don't know, like, what it would have been like 30 years ago. But, like, even, like, 15 years ago, like, the queer scene was heavily led by drag queens. Like, it kind of always has been in Pittsburgh. Like, there are two of some of the most, like, renowned drag queens, like, there's three big ones, really, but the two big name ones, because they were both on Drag Race and both won Drag Race, are Sharon Needles.
Sharon Needles and Alaska.
Alaska, who created a party that still happens every year at Pitt. Love that for her.
She kissed me on the cheek.
I'm so jealous. Sharon Needles, though, was recently outed as someone who, like, has groomed young fans, so that's kind of fucked up.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either.
My ex was obsessed with Sharon Needles, so I get a little bit of, like, schadenfreude at that. Even though I don't have bad... Shut up! I don't have bad feelings towards my ex, but, like, you know, it's still an ex.
Yeah, that's fair.
Quiet.
Definitely makes me sad. Because I feel like...
You see
the
dog outside the window, so...
It's very exciting. Eli! I totally understand.
Quiet. Sorry, what were you saying?
I'm just saying it's like... It does make me sad because I did feel like out of... Like, when I first started watching Drag Race, which was not that long ago, it was like March, April. Sharon was definitely like the first queen who won... That I actually, that's not even fucking true. Yeah, no, it is. That I like saw. Well, I don't. Okay, hold on. That I was gonna say that I saw myself in. I love Raja. I don't necessarily think I see myself in Raja. Other than when I'm looking back at how many fucking hours I've spent watching America's Next Top Model while he was the makeup artist.
Sutan.
But, like, I don't know, Sharon's, like, artistry and, like, sort of, like, always being outside of the main crowd, like, that feels really relatable, you know?
Eli. Sorry.
It's all good. But everyone should go and follow Boo Barrymore on all social media. She is the current main queen in Pittsburgh. She's amazing. She's really talented. She's very cool. And she's not a pedophile. So.
Sounds good.
Yep. That's it with Emmett.
So you know your Pittsburgh queens. Pittsburgh. That's good.
I love
that. And now we have Godiva added to the imaginary pantheon. I love whenever we get a little taste of Emmett's history, because it's not common about, like, how he got here.
Yeah, that's
from
true.
Mississippi.
I want more of Emmett all the time.
Me too.
Obviously.
Me too. We're getting more of him. There will be more of him.
Thank God.
Yeah. I think every season has more Emmett than the last.
Thank God.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, then we have Ted, I said?
Yes.
Great. Did not care for Ted's scene. Well, Ted's plot, I guess. I never like Ted's sex scenes. I don't know if it's that the actor isn't, like, good at acting in these scenes, or they didn't have good, like, intimacy training. But I just, they feel, like, awkward. You know what I mean?
I mean, this one was supposed to be awkward. Because it was a pity fuck. Aw, poor Ted.
I love Ted. I hate that that had to happen to him.
I know, but he got that nice guy at the end who we'll never see again.
Yes. The nice guy, he was cute. I just don't understand why Ted doesn't get anything lasting when he's always, like, having these meaningful and, like, deep conversations with guys.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good question.
Like, at the bar. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, Ted gets a serious relationship next season.
All right. When is he going to start his porn empire?
Next episode.
Thank God! I've been waiting. I want
next
him to
episode
have a job.
Has big plot growth for Michael and for Ted.
Thank God. Michael needs growth. He hasn't grown
and then
the
it
whole
has,
time.
It's got Justin's disability plot and then their
okay.
stuff.
Okay. So it's going to be a great episode.
I'm going to have a lot of feelings about next episode. There's this one scene that gets me in the heart and soul. But there are some things that they do with Justin's plot that I don't like.
Okay.
And we have... There's a point where I wish they'd stopped. Mm. And then there's more. So it's kind of the opposite of what we were saying earlier.
Okay. Yeah. I get it.
And it's kind of... It's just cheesy. And I feel like it's very much for able-bodied people. But at the same time, if you look through it, it's basically him being inspired by another disabled person. So if you look at it through a disability lens, it's not bad. It's okay for a disabled person to be inspired by a disabled person, but it's just, it's a little saccharine.
Yeah. And it's that continued trope of, like, disabled people needing to be inspiring for their lives to be worthwhile.
Exactly. But I'm okay with them being inspiring to other disabled people.
Yeah, because it's, like, affinity.
Yeah. Let me look up, we can keep talking while I do this, but I feel like the actress who plays the disabled character is not disabled, which I don't love. Obviously, the actor who plays Justin is not disabled either, but I give it a pass because he didn't start the show disabled.
Yes.
Quiet.
Yeah. I agree. I also, like, maybe this isn't great to say, but I do feel that since it is something that isn't visibly obvious, it is, I guess, like, since it's not something that I keep saying, I know this is, like, annoying and rude, and I'm sure it's ableist, that, like, we can't look at him and be like, you're disabled, that I feel less offended that he's not a disabled actor.
Yeah, I think, I see what you're saying, but in a way I think it's almost more important to get disabled people to play invisible disabilities because
I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying it doesn't anger me so much.
There's a dog outside barking now, so it's the end of the world.
Stop, please.
Yes, I know. You're very fearsome. You could take that dog.
Remy's eye cream came, but he has been elusive, and I have not been able to put it on him.
Astrid is getting better.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you needed a tiny bit of the medicine, I am sure I could put it into a Ziploc bag and drop it at the door.
No, I'm okay. Thank you. Eli, you need to stop. I'm trying to do a podcast.
He says, Mom, I don't know what that means.
I know. You're stupid. Okay. But yes, next episode, I'm going to have a lot of feelings. And that would be fine.
Did you find out if the actress is disabled?
I haven't. I can't find... Oh, so let me see full cast.
I mean, like, I definitely agree with you that, like, yeah, it would be awesome for people with invisible disabilities to play other people with invisible disabilities. However, I don't necessarily find it as problematic if a non-disabled actor plays a character with an invisible disability.
Yeah,
but it would be awesome for more disabled actors to have more work.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think, assuming the character's name is Adrienne Bennett, which I think it is, she does not appear to be disabled.
Okay.
So that's frustrating, because she's in one scene. She doesn't have to do any heavy lifting acting. Would have been pretty fucking easy to find a disabled actor who could handle this part.
Yes.
So, that's frustrating. But this was, you know, 2003 when we didn't know about that kind of shit, so. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely not on the forefront of people's mind when they do casting like it is now.
Yeah, exactly.
We put in the
work. But yeah, I will have a lot of feelings. Justin is just angry next episode. And not in, like, his rage way that he has been, like, his periods of rage. Like, he's just, like, frustrated and upset and mad. And it, like...
It's going to be stressful.
It gets me. And Brian doesn't know what to do. And it's... I have a lot of feelings about it.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this episode. So, yes. Ted will start his porn empire next episode.
I'm so excited. Yes. I was thinking about Ted when I wasn't even watching the show. That's how much I like him.
Wow. I'm glad you like him.
He is just such a relatable character.
He has some very intense plot lines coming up. So
I'm so ready.
You will like them.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Then let's talk about Michael.
Michael is a pussy. He's afraid to go to the parade. So,
but like, I get it. Like, he could get fired for any reason. He doesn't have workplace protections.
Yeah, and his coworkers continue to be awful.
Yeah.
So
Tracy
he
doesn't even really stand up for him.
No, she doesn't, and it's really annoying.
Yeah.
He dresses up as a woman. Goes to the parade in drag. He's a very cute drag queen.
I liked his drag look.
He was adorbs.
Yeah. He almost looked like a little bit like Lady Di-esque.
Yeah, I can
especially
see it.
Especially if the outfit was different. Like, the hair was giving me that for sure.
Yeah, I can see it.
Oh, and I loved seeing him without his chest hair.
Yes.
I hate chest hair.
It's got like, Seth calls that his little rat. His chest hair patch.
Damn. That's how you know he's not Jewish.
Yeah.
Because it would be a forest if
it was. It would not be a rat. It would be a nest of rats.
Yes.
The Rat King. He kisses his co-worker, or his boss, which is funny.
That was awesome. That was such a good fuck you.
And Tracy's reaction was great.
Yeah, she knew it was Michael. I wonder if the other guys knew it was Michael.
They did not.
That's what I figured. But
there's some backlash next episode from what happened. You'll see.
Great.
Some after effects. Brian. Lesbians.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about them.
I know. Nothing really was. Yeah. We don't need to say that.
Yeah, Melanie was hot. We met Lita, who's a character I really enjoy.
She's hot too. I like her. She seems
she's
really
in several
fun.
Episodes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
She seems cool.
Eli. She was meant to be the female version of Brian.
Oh.
Yeah. And there is a scene later when the two of them interact. It's brief, but it's phenomenal.
Okay. Interesting.
Alita asks Brian, have you ever been fucked by a dyke with a strap on? And Brian says, is that an offer? So.
Wow.
Headcanon is that absolutely happens.
Oh, it better.
I know.
In my headcanon, it definitely does.
It definitely happens.
I love that.
Yes. Lesbians. Melly's hot.
Yeah, that's it, really. And then I guess we're back to Brian and Justin again. Yeah, so let's talk about Chris Hobbs.
Okay.
I mean, I guess the assumption is that Justin just left and then went back to Brian's place.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish that we had something there. Like a more immediate sort of, like...
I agree. There wasn't enough Justin for me in this episode.
I know.
And when we did see him, he was very quiet and in the background, which I understand is PTSD and who he is now.
Yes.
But still, I miss him. But I know everyone else misses him, too. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you, season one, Justin was gone.
I know. But can't Justin be happy?
No.
Oh, that's fucked. That seems incorrect.
He actually gets to be happy for several episodes this series. There's so in episode six of the season, so not the next episode, but the one after, Brian and Justin discuss the relationship. It's great. And lay down some ground rules. And then they run really smoothly for like 10 episodes.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
And they're just having a great time and just being adorable, and they don't even have any like big dramatic plots. Like, they're usually the subplot, because it's just like, and there's Brian and Justin being happy, there's Brian and Justin being a little married couple over at the bar.
Love that. That's
it's
awesome.
Great.
I do like that you can tell that there has been some progress made on Justin's part, because he's in multiple crowds.
Yes.
And is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Yeah, very subtle progress right there.
Yeah, but we still get stuff with him, like, supporting his hands when he's painting to remind us that, like, he hasn't been magically cured.
Yes, yes,
which is
yes,
great.
Yes. Which I like that. Then I guess let's talk about... also Justin's mom makes an appearance.
Oh, Jennifer and Justin marching together is beautiful.
Very cute. I love the moment where she's like, I'm proud of you. And he's
I'm proud of you, too. I know.
That's all I needed!
That's all we need. Jennifer's amazing. I love her so much.
She's so great. I do like that they are continuing her friendship with Michael's mom.
Debbie.
I don't know her name. Debbie. I could really just forgo Michael and his mom altogether.
I could too.
But I do think that them, that mother-son pair and Justin and his mom being there does make Justin and Jennifer stronger.
Yes.
By comparison, yeah.
Brian's account. So Brian's plot in this I really like.
I like it too.
Brian's got this homophobic client and everyone's really giving him a hard time about working for him. Mm-hmm. And Brian manages to flip it around. And what I love is when Brian suggests that he donates to a gay cause.
Yeah.
Normally I would be annoyed that it jumps to gay marriage, but from Brian, I like it. Because it's something that doesn't personally benefit Brian.
Yeah.
It's something he's really doing for Lindsay.
It's also a cause that had been mentioned multiple times already in the episode, so they know that it's an issue. And at this time, no one, gay marriage wasn't legal.
Yeah.
And we are seeing people die from, we didn't see it, but we know that people have AIDS in universe. Someone in universe just died of AIDS. The main reason that marriage equality was even ever on the table is because of the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I know that they probably, didn't, think to link the two in the episode, and it just kind of, happened to be that way, that they were both in the same episode, but, you know, it... Yeah.
I thought especially since we had Lindsay and Melanie, they were like, we're going to march for the marriage initiative. Oh, now we're not. It was nice to still throw the marriage initiative something.
Yes.
After
yes.
we had them kind of forsake it.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like that's such a middle-of-the-road thing for him to donate to.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than him donating to the Queer Center, and it's better than him donating to, I don't know, lobbyists who are trying to end conversion therapy.
Yeah.
Or, something in support of gay adoption. Marriage is the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So, to me, it felt, reasonable.
I just like that Brian supports marriage rights when he has no interest in getting married whatsoever.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, yes.
It's just nice. I also loved the fake organizations that Brian came up with that the guy donated to, Stop AIDS with Guns and Launch Lesbians into Space.
I did not even pay attention at that point. I don't know hysterical. Why I wasn't paying attention.
They're so funny. There's one more. I can't remember what it is, but I know Launch Lesbians into Space and Stop AIDS with Guns were the two organizations that he says Pool donates to.
Yeah. But it was great. I mean, I loved that he knew, because he knows, and obviously he's right, that, Republicans... will listen to anything that has to do with their income.
Yep.
You know?
Eli, quiet. Quiet. All right.
I don't know.
Yes. He knew that he would follow the money.
Yeah, and it was just, clever, and I feel like the other people, anyone who's, not Ted, obviously this plot, they wouldn't have, been yes, this makes sense what you're doing. But I don't know. I feel like nowadays, we are so aware of how much, money has the power, in everything.
Yep.
More so than, I guess, people were talking about it at the time that the show was being made. So, I don't know. I thought it made sense. I like it. I like the outcome.
Me too.
And I like seeing Brian be good at his job.
I was just about to say, I love seeing Brian be good at his job. It's really fun.
Anytime we see anyone be good at their job, it's exciting because I feel like too often we see people being bad at their jobs.
Yep.
And that's real life, too. It's just everyone being bad at their job. Yeah. It's annoying.
I completely agree. So I guess we're done.
Yeah. Hot or not.
Hot or not.
My hot is going to be Brian.
Yeah.
Good at his job. He, you know... doesn't necessarily, add to Justin being upset or stressed about Chris Hobbs because he knows that that's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, there for him, and he's like, you just need to sleep it off. He basically makes Justin still go to Pride because he knows that he'll have a good time and, obviously Chris Hobbs shouldn't get to take this experience away from him. And I just thought he was, like, an all-around great guy this episode, except for not keeping that guy from having a pity fuck with poor Ted. <That's true. laughs>
And, oh, he wanted to have sex with a black guy, but was not able to, because he cannot have sex with a black person on the show, ever. It will never happen.
This
Justin will at one point.
Show.
Justin has sex with two black people. He has sex with Daphne, and he has sex with a man later. So yes. He's the diversity king of Queer's Folk. But yeah, Brian will never successfully have sex with a black person.
Jesus Christ.
I know. My sister pointed that out to me, and, like, you can't unsee it.
No, I will never unsee it. Who's your hot?
Who is my hot? I guess it's Melanie.
I was thinking Melanie was pretty hot.
She sticks to her conventions. She doesn't let Lindsay's guilt tripping get to her, but she also doesn't fight back too hard.
Mm-hmm.
She's really just like, I'm going to do this. Come with me if you want. Or, like, I would like you to come with me, even. And she makes it very clear, this isn't about choosing Lita over Lindsay, ever. This is about choosing freedom over family life for a little bit.
Yeah. Like, what areas of family life can give, and what areas of family life, like, are necessary to stay intact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it to Melanie.
Nice. My not is going to be Debbie. I think that one is a pretty obvious one.
Eli. I'm sorry.
So sorry to the listeners. I feel like this is every episode.
I'm sorry. He's a puppy. He's learning. Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners don't care. If it bothers you a lot, just tweet at us that it is bothering you, and I will go through and listen to the episodes and cut the sound down on Hannah's side for, like, wherever it's possible. But
just
I don't want to do
just
this.
Just remove my audio and just have it be you.
It's just my audio now. but Debbie, like, tries to guilt trip Michael multiple times into marching with her. Like, she obviously is not sensitive towards the fact that, like, her son could lose his job.
Yeah.
Like, do you want him to move back in with you? The man is, like, 30. No. and she's just dumb. She has two modes, and it's being stupid happy or being a whiny baby. So I don't like her.
I agree. Those are her two modes. I'm going to give it to Ted.
You are so mean to him.
I know, but he really should have realized that guy didn't want to go to a champagne brunch with him and then go to the parade.
I know. He was obviously not listening to him.
Yeah, he's embarrassing.
But you know what? Sometimes Ted has to go through dumbassery because of himself. And then he'll start a porn empire and things will be great for him.
That will be next episode. Speaking of next episode, let's hear about it.
Yes.
Let me find the page. Episode 5 is called Wherever That Dream May Lead You. Having lost hand control from his bashing, Justin quits art school. He's lost the fine motor skills needed to hold a brush. Michael decides to quit the big Q and risk it all to buy a comic book store. Ted ditches his accounting job to start his new porno website.
Yes. Okay. I am gonna take issue with Justin's plot already.
Why is that?
Like, does he not know that there's other kinds of art that he can be doing, and he could even be doing art without a paintbrush? Like,
he'll wait for it.
Okay, great.
That will be addressed, I promise.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. You should go ahead and follow us on Twitter at @alittletoharsh, at @HannahMoskin, at @Jesse_Quinn. I believe that's it. See you guys soon. Adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat!